Hello, everyone. This is Lisa.
Hello, I'm Lisa.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
Well, time got away from me tonight. So I apologize for being a couple of minutes late. But we have an exciting call planned for this evening. I know we already have a few people that have joined. Others will be joining us. So I want to go ahead and get started and respect the time for those who did come on time, which doesn't include me. And so I'd like to open up with prayer. I know Chris is not going to be able to join us tonight. He's not available. But if there's another man on the line that would like to lead us in prayer to open up the call, that would be awesome.
Okay, Lisa, I'm Freddie. I'm here. I'll lead.
Oh, thank you.
Father, I thank you. I thank you for these people, Father God, that have come to receive from you.
Thank you.
I thank you for your divine presence, Father God. I thank you that you will exalt yourself tonight in this call. And we cast down every vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against you, God. And we bring every thought into captivity right now in the name of Jesus. So we thank you right now as you unfold your word through your Holy Spirit. Lead us, guide us, make it plain, Father God, that we may come to know you even more and to obey your word, Father God. So, Father God, give us understanding and insight into your word and bring understanding to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you, Freddie. I almost said Brother Freddie. So, tonight's call, well, first of all, do we have anybody new on the call tonight so far? Okay, well, just then, tonight's call, we have three speakers, myself, Sophia, and Freddie. And for those of you who don't remember, Freddie and his wife, Kalanda, came on a few months ago and shared their restoration testimony, part of their journey. And he and his wife have been coming on periodically and just, you know, breaking bread with us. And so we asked if he would be so kind as to join us tonight. I'm always blessed to hear him speak. And so I'm going to start off talking about word curses. Sophia's going to follow up with repentance. And then Freddie's going to tie it all together with talking about relationships. But everything that we're saying tonight is falling under the umbrella of spiritual warfare. And so we want to just spend some time tonight and for the next few Thursdays until God tells us to move on. But we just really want to spend time breaking apart, peeling back the onion, and understanding spiritual warfare. So please remember these calls are recorded. And so, therefore, we ask that you would try to be so kind as to not call out your spouse's name if you do want to share. You will have an opportunity to ask questions after each one of us kind of open up. And I think that's about it. So if you don't have your phone on mute, if you would be so kind as to put it on mute, then when you want to speak, just take it off of mute and, you know, feel free to talk. So are there any questions before we get started? Okay. Well, I'm going to start with the topic tonight. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes on word curses. And there is so much that can fall under word curses. Oh, shoot. Okay, so I'm going to change my earpiece for a second. Give me 1 minute. Because it just told me. Okay, can you all still hear me? I just got a message that my battery is low on my earpiece, so that limits me. So that means I won't talk as long. We are very familiar with the scripture in Proverbs. I'm sure most of us can quote it by memory that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we say it, but then and then it's also going to talk about that we will eat the fruit thereof. But we say it, but I don't think oftentimes I don't even realize what I'm saying and the impact of the words that I'm speaking. We have to understand from a foundational point that the words that we speak, the songs that we, whether we sing them or we speak them, however we pray them, those words have those words have life. Those words are spirit. They're coming from the depths of your from within, and they have spirit, and they take form in the spiritual realm. So think about God in the beginning. God spoke, and whatever he spoke came to pass, and we are created in his image. So sometimes we think that we are venting, but what we're doing is we are giving life to thought. So imagine that if I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, let me just say, I'm thinking that I don't feel well. Let's just say I'm thinking something like that. I'm saying, oh, I don't feel well. And maybe I'm having symptoms that I'm not feeling well. Maybe my nose is runny or stopped up, or I'm feeling chills. And so I have the symptoms of this act, of this behavior. I have the symptoms. And so my mind starts saying, you don't feel well, you don't feel well. The next thing out of your mouth, you start speaking, and you're speaking the facts of, I don't feel well, I have chills, I have, my nose is runny. And you're saying these things, but what you're really doing is you're giving life to symptoms, and the next thing you know, you're laid up and you're sick because you have just spoken a word curse over yourself. I wanted to go to, I think it's Mark the 11th chapter, and I wanted to read something, and I promise you I really won't be much longer, maybe 10 minutes at the most. Mark the 11th chapter, verse 20, let me start at verse 23, and it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So we look at that scripture and we think that only applies to when we pray. But if you take all of the word and not just one piece, you'll understand that what is prayer? Prayer is communication. Prayer is speaking. So when, and it says what you believe. So it starts in your mind. So that thing that you believe in your mind, you speak it out of your mouth, and you're going to have whatsoever you say. So if you're saying something negative, then that's what you're going to have. If you're saying something positive, that's what you're going to have. And the reason I call it, and it's not just me, but the reason we call it a curse is because you give life to those demonic entities, those demonic spirits. You start to give them right and come into agreement with the words that you have spoken over yourself or over someone else. Example. This is an example. I'm not going to take credit for this example. I heard this example from a lady. Oh, shoot. Sophia, do you remember the lady's name that I told you? I can't think of her name. I think it's Kathy McGraw. Kathy McGraw does a lot of teachings on spiritual warfare, and you can find her podcast on the, I think it's called the Charisma Podcast Network. So I'm giving her credit for this. And she shared this example. You come out of church, and she said on Sunday, so you walk out of church on Sunday, and maybe what you didn't feel as though that the pastor spoke on, he spoke well, or that he was qualified to speak on the message that he spoke on. And so when you step out of the service, you say, oh, pastor didn't really speak well today. He's not qualified to speak on this particular series. And then you may even top it off with, let's pray for him. Well, you don't already spoke negative words over your pastor, and that is speaking a curse over him. So what do? You have to pull down those things that you said. You have to repent, and this is where Sophia is going to come in tonight. But you have to repent for those things that you've said. And I know this is a restoration line. So maybe for speaking on your husband, maybe he does something or she does something that upsets you, or they're doing something that, you know, they're out here and they're on drugs, or they're caught up in adultery. They just don't want to come home. Maybe they're mean to you. And so out of your mouth, you say something like, you know, he's living in sin and he's in adultery and, you know, he's out here and he's fornicating and he needs to just come home and he's just crazy and he's just doing stupid things. And, you know, all kinds of stuff is flying out of your mouth. What are you doing? You're coming into agreement with the enemy and you're speaking these things over your husband. And then you ask us, pray for me, pray for my husband. You know, God, bring my husband home. But you've just spoken all of these negative things over him. And for the men on the call, the same thing to you with your wife. She's out here and she doesn't care about her children. You're speaking it into existence. You shall have whatsoever you say, because if it's coming out of your mouth, then ask yourself, where is it coming from? Is it coming because this is what you believe to be the case and this is what you're seeing as a fact? But it's not a truth, because you have to think, what is the truth? What does God say about my husband? What does God say about my wife? God says that my husband is fearfully and wonderfully made. He is the priest and the Lord of my home. He is an awesome father. He is the lover of my soul. That's what God said. He is my one covenant flesh. So trust me, if you're calling your husband or your wife by any name other than the God-given name, then you are also calling yourself the very same thing. And I'm going to, you know, wrap up what I'm saying here, but I want you to think about this. And I posted this on the RMM share wall today. I looked up the definition of the word spirit, and this one definition really stood out to me. And it says, a spirit is a force that influences a person's will. I'm going to say it again. A spirit is a force that influences a person's will. So I have heard the question so many times, or the statement, well, what about my spouse's free will? They have free will. Well, baby, you have free will too. And sometimes you'll even say, today he was really nice, or today he was really mean. Think about what is the spirit at this time that is that force that is influencing that individual's will. Because, see, all of our will is being influenced. Hopefully your will is being influenced by the Holy Spirit. And I will say, for me, as I look back on my journey, maybe 50% of the time when I got started, maybe 40%, it was influenced by the Holy Spirit. But there were a lot of times when I was weak in the flesh and my spirit was being influenced by the adversary, by the devil, because I was getting angry. What is anger? A work of the flesh. I was being jealous, a work of the flesh. I was being judgmental, a work of the flesh. And so the Holy Spirit was not influencing my will, but the enemy was influencing my will. And every time I got angry, every time I showed jealousy, every time I spoke out of my mouth outside of the will of God or the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I was bringing a word curse on my own relationship, on my husband, on myself, on my family. And I was being influenced, my will was being influenced by that of the enemy. So therefore, they say my people perish for lack of knowledge. Tonight what we want to do is equip you with knowledge. It is better for you to not say anything than to say something that you're going to have to, that's going to speak a curse over your spouse. So I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to ask if anyone has any questions or any comments. And I do want to share with you, I didn't just make up this information. I have been studying, reading the book, The Bait of Satan. I started reading that book in February in 2018 when I started my SAN. Recently this year, it has come back into my attention. So I started with The Bait of Satan, and that book is written by John Bevere. The Virtuous Woman Group, Women's Group have been reading the book and doing a book study on The Bait of Satan. The second book that I spent some time with is by John Eckert, and it's called Prayers That, I don't know if it's pronounced Route or Root, but it's spelled R-O-U-T. If someone knows how it's pronounced, by all means, let us know. But Prayers That Root or Route Demons, and that book is written by John Eckert. I have been praying those prayers, and I'm going to warn you, when you pray those prayers, you can expect that the enemy is going to attack you however he can. And I'm not trying to scare you, but you need to be knowledgeable of these things. And so that's what we want to do, is just give you knowledge. And then the third book that I have been introduced to is Pigs in the Parlor. And that one, I believe, was written by Frank Hammond, and his wife, Ada Mae Hammond, shares a lot of revelation on being double-minded. And I'm thinking that is what a lot of us come across with our spouses, is that spirit of double-mindedness. So let me pause. Does anyone have any questions, any comments about word curses?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is Karen. Just recently, and I mean, as I started saying, learning more about, you know, praying the scriptures and stuff, also in Job 22:28, when he says, I should decree a thing and it should be established.
Uh-huh.
And so I try to decree and declare positive every morning, whatever
Amen.
I can, over my marriage, over my child, over my family. And I had a conversation with another lady, and she was like, I do it all the time because you have to. And it just gives me comfort when I declare and decree those positive things.
Amen.
And it's almost like the law of attraction, you know, if you believe in that. But it's like what you put out in the atmosphere,
you will reap.
Yeah, so, and trust me, I've had my fair share of reaping. But I just started declaring and decreeing things, and it's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. Job 22:28, it says, Yeah, decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy way.
So just declare and decree those things. I mean, you can find things online. Cindy Trim is really good. If you have not heard of Cindy Trim, she has great books, Commanding Your Morning, and also Rules of Engagement is another good one that I like to read from. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you for that. That was great.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
What's the couple that was on the other week? Gerald and Yvette.
Yvette and Benson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They have a ministry as well. And Cheryl does a lot of prayer. Yvette does a lot of prayers of how we as women, as a helpmeet to our husband, should be praying over our husband and decreeing and declaring, as you just said, what God says about him. So are there any other comments or questions before I give it over to Sophia?
What was the name of the second book when you were talking about the three books?
So John Eckert wrote the book called Prayers That Route or Root, R-O-U-T. I think it's Root, but I'm not sure. Demon.
Yeah. He also has a couple of other books, too, like Praying From Head to Toe. I have that book by him. And also about fasting and deliverance. And he also has another book about prayers that move mountains. He has a lot of wonderful books, y'all. He's awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I just got to reemphasize. I am really big on your mindset and pulling down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. I'm really big on mindset, what you think, because what you think, if it's contrary to what God has told you about your stand, you need to open up your mouth and pull those thoughts down. So I'm really big on that, and I'm going to be talking you know, every time we come on this call about what comes out of our mouth. I'll give it over to Sophia, and Sophia, you have it on now.
Hello, guys. So I wanted to just touch a little bit on repentance and forgiveness. You know, and what I'm speaking about is from personal experience, so I'm going to be fully transparent that this is something that I'm walking through every day and I'm learning. But, you know, I totally agree with what Lisa said and what the other caller said is, you know, power, you have power in the words that you speak. If you're speaking negative, you know, you're going to reap negative. If you're speaking positive, speak life, you know. But, you know, one thing that's big on repentance, and I'm going to ask, and I've been guilty of this in the past too. I catch myself now, and there's been a few instances where I've had to call out other people, you know, please stop speaking these things over my spouse and just pray for him. But we need to ask God to search our heart. We are not perfect. And we constantly, every day, need to speak in and repent for anything in our lives or in our hearts that doesn't line up with His word or what He has spoken to us or about who we are in Him. If we're constantly looking at our spouse for, oh, he's doing this or, oh, he's doing that, or, you know, we need to, one, take it to God and leave it at His feet. You know, God holds your spouse's heart in His hands. And we need to worry, if we need to look at ourselves, what are we doing, what are we saying that is not lining up with what He is speaking or to His word, and take this to the Father. And, you know, it says in the scriptures, search my heart. If there is anything in me that is not pleasing to your sight, like, you know, show me so that I may repent of it. And you know, it really, and I was thinking about this yesterday, and I haven't been on the RMM share wall in a while, because when I've been on there, like, and forgive me if I cry because I'm a crier, but, you know, it really saddens me to see so many men and women who, you know, God has called to stand in the gap for their spouses, not just to restore the marriage, but to restore your spouse's heart, his life back to Christ. That's first and foremost the most important thing. And it just saddens me to see all these people speaking just negative things over their spouses. And I would, you know, like for you guys to take a step back and really see, ask yourself, when the Lord brings my spouse back, would He like to see what's being said about them on the prayer wall? And this is stuff that we have to repent about, because that's not how God sees your spouse. Your spouse says, your God says your spouse, your wife is His son or daughter. He sees them as fearfully and wonderfully made. He says that they are set free, healed, and delivered. He says they are faithful. And these are the things that we need to speak over our spouses. Don't glorify the enemy and what the enemy is doing in their lives. Glorify God. Choose His way and say over your spouses what God says, who God says they are. And so I'm really asking you guys, and I do this every day, Lord, search my heart. You know, show me if I have any bitterness. If I have, even sometimes it may not be bitterness towards your spouse, but you might have bitterness towards God. And if that's so, take it to the Father and repent of it. Ask Him for forgiveness and to teach you how to walk in forgiveness, how to mold you and shape you into the image that He has created you to be for His glory. And one of the things, Lisa mentioned this book, the John Bevere, The Bait of Satan, and I've been listening to the audio, and I actually just finished the book today, and this parable always gets me every time I hear it, and I always hear it differently, and it just always opens my eyes more and more. It's the parable in Matthew, Hang on 1 second. It's the parable in Matthew 18:21-35, the parable of the unmerciful servant. So I'm sure that many of you are familiar with this parable, but the way that John Bevere broke it down was like, wow. It just like kind of like, man, you know. So in the parable, the servant goes to the master, and so he's asking the master for forgiveness for the debt that he owes the master, which is, in the scriptures, they say it's 10,000 talents. And the way John Bevere broke it down is 10,000 talents of gold in this day and age is $4.6 billion. That is a debt that nobody can ever repay. And, you know, in this parable, God is the master and we are the servant. Jesus paid a price for us that we can never repay. We're not perfect. I can't speak for everybody else, but I know that I've done some pretty crazy, dumb stuff in my past that I need forgiveness for. And so after the master has forgiven the servant for this debt, he in turn goes to another person that owes him a debt. And it's the way John Bevere broke it down in this day and age, the debt that this person owed the servant was only $4,000. And he wasn't willing to forgive that debt, so he was thrown in prison after the master found out that this servant wasn't willing to forgive that debt. So turn it around. We're asking God for forgiveness to forgive us, but we're not able to forgive the stuff that either our spouses are doing to us or what other people are doing for us. We may speak it out of our mouths, but have we truly forgiven from the heart? Every time they do something, you know, we're offended, but we need to learn how to walk in forgiveness every single day. I mean, the disciples asked Jesus, how many times do we have to forgive? And what did Jesus say? 77 times 7. So that's every single day. And one thing that just comes to mind is like, forgiveness is a choice. You can either choose not to forgive and live in anger and bitterness, and that eventually is going to consume you. And you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting. You're thinking that by holding on to that offense that you're hurting your spouse or the other person, whoever offended you. But in reality, you're only hurting yourself. And this is something that I've had to walk through every single day. It's a choice that I make because, you know what, I need forgiveness. I'm not perfect. My feet stumble every day, but I look to the one that can heal me, set me free, and deliver me. And that's Jesus Christ. That's my Father. And so I encourage you guys, you know, just take a step back and really evaluate what it is that you're speaking. Have you forgiven? Have you repented for the way that you've been seeing your spouse or what you've been speaking over them? There's freedom in forgiving, and it's an everyday choice. So choose to forgive your spouse, no matter what it is they're doing, what it is they're saying. Just choose forgiveness. That's all I can say. And this is something that I'm walking out too every day, and it's a choice that I make. And, you know, just speak life over your spouse. Do not allow anybody, no matter who it is, to speak negative over your spouses or over anybody. If you're at work and you're hearing gossiping about somebody else, walk away. I encourage you to really ask the Lord to search your heart. And if he brings up something that you've done, you know, repent. He'll forgive you, and you just, you know, let it go and keep walking it out. Don't allow the enemy to condemn you for something you've done in the past. You've asked the Father for forgiveness, and he will surely, surely forgive you. So that's all I have to say. I don't know if anybody has any comments or questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
What is your
position on expecting your spouse to apologize?
And that's a good question. I think a lot of us hold on to that, well, I'll forgive them until they apologize. That's a no. I choose to forgive even though my husband has not apologized, or I may never get an apology from him. I'm choosing to forgive because I want to be set free from whatever it is that is holding me back. And I don't want to look at my spouse the way the enemy sees him. I want to look at him the way that God sees him, and I want to speak over him what God says that he is. So, and another thing that I wanted to mention, too, is I don't know if a lot of people are probably thinking, well, I'll forgive him when he comes back or when the Lord brings him back. You know, forgiveness is not dependent upon the Lord bringing your spouse back or not. Forgiveness is choosing to forgive even if you don't get an apology ever. Anybody else?
How do you respond to the piece in where it says restoration cannot occur until repentance has occurred?
That is repentance. Your spouse, and maybe you, until your spouse repents from the heart, and maybe even you repent from the heart. Truly godly sorrow and repentance.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any other questions or anything else before we pass it on to Freddie? Okay, Freddie, it's all yours.
Thank you, Sophia. It's kind of hard coming after you two ladies, two powerhouses. As you can see, there are many facets to spiritual warfare. As they spoke of from different perspectives of spiritual warfare, I want to take a deeper dive, but not too deep, because this subject is so broad, it could teach for a year or more. I've been this type of student where I learn best if you show me, not just tell me. And growing up in some churches that I attended, the pastor would tell you, you know, bind the enemy, you know, pray for people, forgive. But how? How do I do that? How do I get to a point where I hear what you're saying, you give me the answer, but what does that look like? How do I forgive? How do I forgive my spouse? And, you know, warfare is ever present as long as we're in this earth realm. You know, the Bible says that, you know, that afflictions will come. And so we know that afflictions will come, but sometimes we're paralyzed when it comes. And so we seek out someone who's stronger than us spiritually to help us pray through it. And so I'm going to go through three scriptures. I'm going to leave you with three scriptures, rather. But I want to go, I'm going to touch on, you know, the mechanics of spiritual warfare, what it looks like, why, and what should we do to position ourselves for warfare, and what, you know, because if you gain understanding in that regards, then it's easier for you to fight. And so we fight in our marriages, and we think that she's the problem, he's the problem, and we abandon our marriages because we think it's that person. If I leave that person, then I will have peace. If you know, I shouldn't have made this mistake. I shouldn't have, you know, done this. I knew I shouldn't have married her. And all the while, the enemy is launching spiritual warfare. But because we don't understand. The Bible says don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. just like a boxer never steps into the ring without studying his opponent. And so you have to understand how your enemy fights. You have to understand the arena of the battlefield, which is our mind. So in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 11 through 12, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, I used to ask myself, oh, that sounds spooky. Like, what does that mean? Like, how do you, what he's telling you is we are spirit beings first. We live in a physical body, and we possess a soul. Our souls are comprised of our mind, will, emotion, imagination, and intellect. The enemy comes for that soulish arena or our mind. Reason being is because God has given authority to man in this earth realm. You have to have an earth suit in order to transact business. That's why God himself uses us to perform his will in this earth realm. But the enemy, he distracts us by using these false narratives they spin on us. And his whole desire is to gain authority. And so he comes with suggestive thoughts. Just like Lisa was saying, we got to be careful of the things we say. We can put that in the atmosphere. Because he uses thoughts. If he plants thoughts into our minds, into our hearts, then that seed will begin to grow, because the Bible says, whatsoever man thinketh in his heart, so is the man. So all the while he's gaining authority. Because of our ignorance, as when we're immature in the things of the word, we allow the enemy to steal our authority. And so now he's transacting business through us in this earth realm. That's why Matthew 18:18 says, "Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven." The enemy wants to nullify everything that God has created. He wants to pervert it, just like he wants to pervert the institution of marriage. but he can't. He can't, because it's written. God ordained marriage. And it's time for us to step back in our authority. Jesus came, he died, and rose again with all power in heaven and in earth. And so he's given the authority back to his beloved, us. And it's time for us to take stand, because you had spiritual warfare in your marriage. Then you left each other, and you're still having spiritual warfare now. What's going on, God? Why am I? You thought you were going to have peace, but you still don't have peace, even without that person. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it doesn't stop there, because the scripture says, "But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." And so when we apply ourselves to the word of God, then he begins to teach us. But let me read the scripture. In James 4:7, it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Read again. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let's concentrate on that first part of that scripture. Submit yourselves to God. There are some prerequisites before you can engage the enemy into spiritual warfare. Sophia touched on one aspect of it is forgiveness. You can't expect to fight the enemy and you got unforgiveness in your heart. You have polluted your channel to God with unforgiveness. The Bible says that God is love and love is God. See, if you have unforgiveness, that doesn't look like the Father. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to transform us from the inside out to reflect his true image and his likeness on the earth and to stand in our authority and cause those things to be not as though they were. See, in 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I told you it's prerequisites to this. It says he walks around as a roar. Not that he is a roaring lion. He walks as a roaring lion. See, he's a liar. He's all smoke and mirrors. He comes with this loud growl, but he has no authority. And when you understand that you have been given authority, then his roar doesn't excite me. It doesn't make me shake because he has no authority. And so it says, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That means he can't devour everyone, only those that are ignorant of his devices. Or said another way, those who are ignorant of their authority through Jesus Christ. And so this is why spiritual warfare is important. Because if you're going to engage the enemy in warfare, you better know how to fight. And you better know whose authority that you fight in, because we don't war against flesh and blood. We don't war against flesh and blood. We're spirit-speaking beings. And so we have to stand in that truth and who we are. And this last scripture I want to give to you, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, now it goes back to that submission part. You can't engage in spiritual warfare if you haven't submitted to God. Let me go back to James 4 and 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So before you can resist the devil and before the devil can flee, you have to be in a mode of submission to our Father. Well, what does submission mean? I remember as a young boy growing up in church, and I used to hear a pastor says, God is looking for your yes. I never knew what that meant. I didn't really know what that meant, or I thought I knew what it meant, until I had to one day give God my yes. That means giving yourself wholly to God, will, body, soul, mind, purpose belongs to him. See, we were not created for ourselves. We were created with purpose in mind. The Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And sometimes we look at submission as a dirty word. But submission is simply, hey, humbling myself unto something that is greater than me. I submit myself to God, and I submit myself to his word. The word of God is the foundation for my wife and our marriage. This is the only way that our marriage could be restored. We had to understand this warfare. We had to understand how to properly apply this word to get results. See, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be a cost of you denying yourself, denying that carnality, and start walking in the Spirit, being led by him, inclining your ear to hear for his voice, to learn to hear his voice. See, sometimes we look at, before I gave God my yes, I felt that yes at first was an unfair advantage. He was asking me to submit to him and give up who I am, who I thought I was, who folks viewed me as, the life of the party, the fun guy, you know, oh, it's going to be lit when he come in. See, I thought that's what I had to get. See, that's, I don't want to give that up. I'm refusing to grow. See, the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I had to put away childish things. And so when I submitted myself to God and he started revealing himself to me more and more, I found myself into a relationship with God. I felt myself in koinonia. I was caught up in relationship with God before I knew it. I started walking with him. My desire was more of him. My desire was to know more about his word. See, the Bible is true. The word, his word is true. When he said you can spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure, that is true. But there's prerequisites. But if you like me, we came through that generation of the name it and claim it, touching on it and all that kind of stuff with no scriptural basis. Now you're trying to pimp God for things. And the scripture clearly says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added. Those things that you're touching that don't belong to you, it's going to be added to you. God is a giver. God is a multiplier. But all he wants is relationship. He wants you, simply put. It's nothing. It's not hard for God to restore your marriage. But how can he restore your marriage if you're broken and she's broken? How would that look? Both of you would be in jail because you couldn't stand in the same roof with each other. So I thank God for the space he put between me and my wife, because he isolated me so that he could show me, even though I was preying on her, but God was dealing with me. The more I was angry at my wife, the more he would show me. And the more he showed me, I saw that I wasn't measuring up to what his image and his likeness. That broke me down. And then he started showing me the tactics of the enemy. He had me ignorant of his devices. We live this life. We make this more challenging than it has to be. It says in the Bible that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. We don't give ourselves to learning. We'll fall asleep in church. We'll leave early. We're not studying this word. We're not challenging ourselves. We're not weighing this word out. I had to try this word for myself to see if it really works. I didn't want to hear just what the pastor said. I had to apply myself to this. And when I did and I gave him my yes, he changed me from the inside out. And now I renew my mind with the washing of the word. I study this. I speak this. I worship. I fast for it. I ask God every day to increase my thirst and hunger for his word. I just want more of him. More of him and less of me. See, when it's all said and done, I want to leave an indelible mark on this earth that can't be erased. I want to establish his will in this earth. That's my only desire, for God to use me. So you have to give him something to use. You have to take time and study in this word, and you have to understand your enemy, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But thanks to be to our Father that he says that I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So now I want to open up to if you guys have any questions, comments.
Freddie, do you have any specific examples of words that we can speak that fall under the realm of spiritual warfare when we are maybe bringing down those thoughts that we were talking about earlier?
That's an excellent question. And so, simply put, Jesus is our example, right? What did Jesus do? We wear those bracelets that said WWJD. What did Jesus do? Since he's our example, what did Jesus do? He spoke the word. He said, it is written. He spoke the word. When you find scriptures that are related to your situation, your current circumstance, it may be fear. So what I do, I get scriptures that's in regards to fear. What does the word say? Because, see, this is our manual. This is our infallible deed of authority. So one scripture stands out and says that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but that of power, love, and a sound mind. It's going back to what Lisa said. When you see, the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And so when you speak, because God has given us authority, we'll have what we say. That's why you have to be careful with your words, because life and death comes out of it. And when you're submitted to God, then you're going to speak those things that are life. And so in times of emergency, when something happens that I need him, I know what scripture that scripture comes up in my spirit that I've been given time to study. So when times that I'm in fear, that word comes up to comfort me. And then I speak in agreement with what the word says. So now I stand flat-footed and say, Father, you have not given me the spirit of fear, but that of love, power, and sound mind. Now I cast down every vain imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of you, God, and I bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Satan, I bind you, and every deceptive thought, every thought that's contrary against the word of God, I bind you and I command you to flee in the name of Jesus. That's the authority. That's the power in understanding how to apply the word. That's how you speak. That's how you execute the word in the spiritual realm. You're giving life through your words, but you got to know the word in order to speak it.
Can you explain binding and loosening?
Okay. When you say binding and loosening, when the word says whatever you bind, that means that you contain, that you tie down. When you have demonic spirits during warfare that are coming out against you with your words, when you speak, I bind you, that means I render you helpless and harmless. And I loose you from your assignment against me in the name of Jesus. It's just like when Jesus cast out demons. He commanded them to flee. Loose her and let her go. You're speaking commands under the authority of the Almighty God. But you can't speak those in the authority until you come to know the authority that has been given to you through Christ Jesus. Submission. So that he could teach you and give you understanding to fight skillfully and to understand the tactics of your enemy. The enemy fights you with words, thoughts in your mind, in the arena of your mind. Have you ever been, driving or something like that, and then a weird thought will come in, drive off the bridge. go off the road, or, oh, I'm going to get in an accident. then you come back to your sense, like, where did that thought come from? That's him. That's the evil one. That's your adversary. The difference between those who know the authority and don't, they meditate on their thought, and it turns into fear. And then fear, which is the reciprocal of faith, then now you're under the influence of the enemy, because now you've given thought to this. Until now, you've manifested fear in your life. And before you know it, what you have spoken, it can come to pass. Now you're in an accident. And then first thing you say, I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. See, that's why we have to be mindful of what we say.
So it's normal when you're doing warfare praying and you're being under heavy attack because of the prayers. It's a good thing.
I'm sorry, I could barely hear you.
Is it a good thing when you're warfare praying and you're being attacked after? Like, that means there's, like, movement in the spirit?
It's not that it's a good thing. It's just to be expected. Because the enemy, he wants to wear you down. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not a good thing for you because you want peace. And sometimes you have to fight for your peace, to maintain your peace. So there's sometimes that you have to stop what you're doing, like, wait a minute, my peace is being disturbed. That's how you know the enemy has amplified his fight. Don't look at it as a good thing, but then it's practice. How can you get stronger unless you go to the gym and work out? So when these attacks come, God changes your perspective instead of looking at it as it's a good thing because I've been praying. No, look at it. This is an opportunity for me to flex my muscle and my authority. The Bible says that the enemy is under our feet. So if he's under our feet, why are we taking so much time speaking to him? He's not on our level. He's under our feet. And so the more you spend time in this word understanding these truths, then it brings about confidence. And now confidence brings faith. See, but with fear, when those thoughts come in, the enemy speaking, he's trying to produce fear. Fear and faith, they can't share the same stage. You have to choose. You have to choose if you're going to follow in faith or follow in fear.
One thing I was thinking about, Freddie, as you were talking, and I know it may be a little premature, but the spirit, I like to kind of, we have a little time here, I'd like to talk about just briefly tonight, because I know there's so much more. When I read the book, or as I've been studying The Pigs in the Parlor, he talks about demon groupings. Mm-hmm. And I will speak for myself here. I noticed that I was crying a lot. Thoughts would come to mind, and I would just start crying. Mm-hmm. I was kind of feeling pretty sad, and my daughter even recognized it. But what had happened is I had picked up a spirit of grief, and that's what he identifies it as, a spirit of grief. And under the topic of grief, you have sorrow, heartache, mm-hmm. heartbreak, crying, and sadness. And so when I started praying, I would start binding that spirit of grief over me. And I would say, I bind and I cast out the spirit of grief. I bind and I cast out the spirit of heartache. And I would say, in the name of Jesus, I stand in agreement with the word of God. And then I would decree and declare joy over myself. And I would decree and declare peace. And I just kept doing that until that spirit broke off of me. And so I kind of wanted you to talk, if you can, you know, maybe a little bit about identifying the spirits that we are up against as we bind and cast those out and doing it in the name of Jesus, and just whatever thoughts you have around around that topic.
No, that's an excellent point. Let me try to do it real quickly.
I know.
That's
and we can talk about it again next time, too.
Yeah, okay. But, yeah, when you were saying about how that's as you mature in your submission walk, God will give you discernment so that you will know or recognize certain spirits. Like you may sense it's a spirit of heaviness on you. You can be around a person. Those spirits can be transferable. You're listening to their conversation, and you're being that listener ear, and you're just listening. What you're doing, that's going into your ear gate, and it's getting down into the arena of your soul. And those are seeds, demonic seeds being planted by that person. And if you don't have there have been times that I've been what I would call operating on empty. When I'm agitated, I'm irritable, I don't know why. That's because I've been counseling with people all day, and then I didn't have time to study for that day or to get into an atmosphere of worship after. And so I'm just physically tired, I'm mentally tired, and I'm spiritually tired. And I know that's a sign that I'm empty. And so I have to compel myself to go into worship. And because what happens in worship, he fills you, he engulfs you with his spirit in his presence, and he fills you up again, and he takes all that negativity, all that stuff just out of you, and you feel empowered and strengthened again. But just imagine walking like that every day without understanding this principle of spiritual warfare. So this is why you see suicides. See, I suffered from depression and anxiety. I was on pills for depression. And when my doc, you know, it started off with I thought that was I was having a heart attack. And my anxiety level was so high that I thought that I was having a heart attack. And so out of that adversity, God started teaching me. And because I understood, just like Lisa said, I knew it was a spirit of depression. I can feel it. When it tries to come back, I just bind it, and it's gone. I command it to flee. And so the whole purpose of God bringing us into this relationship is so that he can teach you and show you how to operate in this arena that we call life. Because God plainly said that, you know, that he can see, God wants us to live life and live it more abundantly. But all we've seen is hardships and struggles. But it's all because we perish for lack of knowledge. And so so many people are committing suicide at a high rate because they're in pain. I was in pain in plain sight at my job, at home, with a smile on my face, faking it, making jokes, but I'm hurting inside. And I felt helpless because I didn't know how to fight. And so some of the people that we lose or have lost through that pain and that anguish is so severe inside of them. I've been there. And I thought about killing myself. I felt that my family would be better off without me. They'll have the insurance money at that time. See, this is serious. You know, you have to understand this. This is, you're fighting for your authority. You're fighting for your life. You're fighting for peace. You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for God's will. You know. I hope I touched on what you asked, Lisa.
Yes, you did. Thank you. You definitely did. And I want to let people know, just because we're having this call tonight doesn't mean that you're necessarily ready to go out here and start binding and loosing and casting and all of that kind of stuff. Tonight is really just making you aware starting to talk about this and getting the knowledge so that we can break free of the bondage of divorce, of that spirit of divorce, and start to move into restoration as God has called us to do. Go ahead. Yes, you definitely touched on that. And you mentioned it earlier too, Freddie, that, you know, if we're not careful, we say and think things that we begin to give the enemy legal right and to wreak havoc in our lives. I was very rebellious, and I brought on a spirit of witchcraft in my own home because of my rebellion and gave the enemy legal right. But now, because I have become submissive, that I've taken that legal right from him. But every so often, that residue of rebellion will want to try to come back. And if I'm not careful, I will allow it to come back. Because you know how girlfriends get in our ear. They'll get in our ear and think they're telling us the right thing. But all they're really doing is, if I listen, I'll become rebellious again and give that enemy legal right to come back in.
I'll say this real quick in regards to that. If you guys ever watched a rocket or a space shuttle take off, after it reaches a certain elevation, some things have to fall off in order to, you know, make it out of our atmosphere, right? So it is with your relationships with your friends, family. You have to know when to let go. And that's the hardest part. But if you look at it from a different perspective, it's not hard when you're choosing to take up your cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we can labor with people that God only called in our life for a season. And when you're purpose-driven, you have to depend on God to send those like-minded people that are critical for your success and destiny in life. And so as you go from elevation to elevation to elevation, some things have to fall off, including yourself, your rebellious nature, your selfishness, your anger, your unrepented heart. If you want to go hot, see, there's no limit on how far and how deep you can go with your relationship with the Father. Just know it's going to cost you something. That type of relationship, that type of discernment of his word, it costs you some things. But now, where I'm at in my life currently, I look back on the hardships, and now I understand what the writer Paul said, that it was good that I was afflicted. Because if I've never experienced being under attack, I wouldn't have understood how to fight and use my authority. I wouldn't have seen God's supernatural on my natural. I wouldn't have experienced him giving me life, resuscitating me, and then showing myself that I am more than an overcomer. So allow the afflictions that you've been through to be a teacher. Allow God to give you understanding of those afflictions. You know, I grew up in church where people say, don't question God. No. It's all right to ask God a question, but to question him is like, as if you were above him. No, we don't do that. We're respectful of the Father because, say, man, I can't, who am I? Mm-hmm. So it's nothing wrong with inquiring for understanding. Ask. That's your Father. It's no different from a earthly relationship with a parent and child. Go boldly to your Father because Jesus has paved the way so that you can go into the holies of holies and commune with your Father. Ask of him. He'll give you understanding if you're sincere.
Yes.
we have any other questions or comments?
Yeah, I'm wondering if anybody's enjoying this, if you want to hear more of this.
Ready, when we close out, can you close us out in a powerful prayer for restoration with, like, the warfare tools?
Sure. Father, I thank you that every time that I call upon you, not only do you hear, but you answer and deliver. So, Father God, your people are before you tonight. Father, I ask that you would give understanding, that you will bring a strength. Open their eyes, Father God, to see the tactics of the enemy. But further, Father, let them see the power of who their God is. Father God, teach them to stand in faith and trust securely on you, Father God. Be our shield, be our banner, Father God. Let not our enemy triumph over us, Father God. Teach us, Father God, and we will become doers of your word, Father God. Teach us, Father God. Strip us of our arrogance, our stubbornness, Father God. Humble us, Father God, under your mighty hand, Father God, so that we may perfect your will in this earth, Father God. That we will be a beacon of light, Father God, and that we will reflect your true image and nature in this earth, Father God. For others to be drawn to you, Father God. Change our hearts, O God. Change our minds, Father God. Teach us your word, Father God. Rightfully dividing the word, Father God. Being good stewards of your gifts, your talents that you bestowed on us, Father God. Heal our troubled heart, Father God. Bring understanding to the hurts, Father God. The sorrows, Father God. Heal the hurting pain right now, Father God. Those that are on the poise of giving up, Father God. Resuscitate them now, right now, Father. Great God that you are, Father. Deliver, Father God, your people from darkness, Father. Translate them to your light, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for your word being light into our pathway, Father God. We submit ourselves to you today, Father God. And we wait respectfully for that yes, Father God. We give you that yes, Father God. I thank you, great God, that you are. I thank you that the enemy has no place tonight, Father God. I thank you right now, Father. You said that your beloved, you will give your beloved sweet sleep. And for those that are challenging their sleep, Father God, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. I bind every opposing force right now that plays with their mind, their spirit, their soul. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I command sweet rest in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that the enemy is bound and loose from your people tonight. I speak freedom right now in the name of Jesus. I speak in the authority that's given to me through my elder brother Jesus. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that this word that's been planted, Father God, that it will take root right now in their hearts and minds, Father God, and you will give understanding as the days and weeks go on, Father God, and that you will create a hunger and thirst for these people inside of them, Father God, that they will search with you with everything in them with diligence and their whole will, Father God, to pursue you, to pursue your love, to understand you more affectionately, Father God. So I seal this prayer right now. In your son's name, Yeshua, Jesus, I claim it done now. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go out and shout the victory till the walls come down.
Amen. Yes.
All right. Well, I think this is good tonight. I'm Freddie, Sophia, if there's nothing else, I mean, he just gave us the final prayer, so go in peace. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for your time.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Fix this again.